Your family, Svetlana, lives in a traditional Eastern European village. You love this region. You revel in its beauty as golden summers and crisp white winters coat the landscape during nature's march from one year end to the next. You and your husband Nikolai own an old classic home that you've turned into a traditional bed and breakfast. You have worked with him and his beloved father to make it into a modest business which allows you to stay in this village where you and all your family have always lived. But a shadow has fallen across your sunlit valley. Your daughter Natalia contracted leukemia through radioactivity from nuclear tests in the region during your pregnancy. She needs expensive foreign medicine. Worse, your debts recently increased when Nikolai's father died from a sudden heart attack. Nikolai has had to take out a loan to cover the funeral costs. You now struggle on two fronts. With your hard-working father-in-law dead, you not only face the problem of repaying the loan, but also managing the bed and breakfast without him. It is difficult. But you and Nikolai think this is the best source of income for your family. Your mountain home never fails to please the tourists, and the two of you make the most of its traditional atmosphere, suspending garlic from the wooden beams, together with sausages that you smoke by the open fire. You also serve traditional food that reflects ages past, borscht, potato pancakes, and poppy seed delicacies. You keep the traditional handicrafts of the region in view too. Nests of matryoshka dolls, classic embroidery, lacework, and wood carvings. The tourists love it all, as do you. But it does mean long hours in order to keep the bed and breakfast going. At night, you go to bed late, and it's not easy to start again before dawn the next morning, if necessary. It is at such an hour, in the heart of winter, that your lives take a turn which radically changes your world.
Please, pass through the door to the next section.
One snowy morning, you leave the house while it is still dark to get fresh food from the markets. You step into the street and walk past the houses you have loved all your life, never imagining this day might be different from any other. As you cross the road, though, you slip on its icy surface, spraining your ankle. You try to get up again quickly, knowing that this road can be dangerous. Because it runs through the center of your village, it serves as the main route for any regional or international traffic. You've always cautioned your children to cross this busy road with care. This morning, though, your ankle is so painful and the surface so slippery that you struggle to get out of harm's way. You lever yourself up, but your ankle will not support your weight. As you stumble, you hear the roar of a large, powerful car, but you never catch sight of it. You know only a sudden jolt, oncoming lights, unbearable pain, and then darkness.
Please, pass through the curtain to section 3.
When next you wake, you are in the village clinic. Nikolai is waiting by your side, his face etched with worry. He tells you what happened. A large city car had, indeed, sped round the corner into your village, expecting little traffic at such an early hour. When the driver saw you, he tried to brake, but skidded in the icy conditions. "Now you will need to have a transfusion," he says. "The blood is on its way. Your clinic is too small to have stock of its own." Nikolai tucks the blankets around you in the drafty clinic. "I wish we could afford better care," he says, placing his large, protective hand over yours. His eyes go to the drip attached to your right arm. It doesn't look like a proper drip. It is a soft drink bottle, cut in half, hanging from a coat stand which someone donated to the clinic. Much of this clinic has been furnished by people in the community, as they, desperate for a medical facility, gave whatever they could spare. The beds, therefore, don't match, nor do the tiles. They're an odd collection that was laid on the floor so it could be cleaned and sterilized. You and Nikolai look at one another with quiet resignation. You've often agonized over this clinic in your care for little Natalia. Better care could be had if you paid a bribe, but neither of you would think of lowering your principles. There are, of course, higher quality services available in the city, but you cannot consider those. It's already beyond your budget to meet the medical bills here in the village, where patients have to buy all their bandages, needles and tablets, as well as supplying their own food. All Nikolai can do now is take out a second bank loan. You look at the strain in his face and can hardly bear it. Yet, in the weeks that follow, your recovery is slow. Hygiene problems cause the spread of infection, and as with many clinics, hospital illness sets in. This is not the illness that a patient brings into a hospital. It is one caught by being there, often through a staph type of infection. Some of the other patients around you die from it, for although medicine is available, it is too expensive for them. Nikolai uses part of his loan to buy a supply for you. At last, 3 months after your admission, the staff releases you on condition that you will spend 6 weeks in bed at home. Reading their facial expressions, you realize they're not releasing you because they think you're strong again. They're doing so because they need the bed.
Please, pass through the curtain to section 4.
You delight in the wonder of being back in your own home. Nikolai is beside himself with joy. It has even brought silk flowers, a luxury in your village, to brighten your room as you rest. The strain of managing the bed and breakfast alone, however, continues to exhaust him. You see his pale face and are frustrated that the slowness of your recovery means you cannot take your place beside this good man. Thankfully, medical help comes in an unexpected form. A neighbor's daughter has come for vacation from the big city hospital where she works as a nurse. She helps care for you with a well-trained eye, but over time looks patently worried. You should be doing better than this by now. Is there an explanation? You and Nikolai ask her. She nods, her fingers knotted. It could be that you still have some chronic infection from the hospital, she begins. In which case, you will need to buy more of the imported medicine. Or, then again, her voice lowers, there is the risk that you are HIV positive. Your symptoms could fit either. Your world seems to spin as she speaks those words, and Nikolai's strong arms pull you close for support. How is that possible, you asked. I've loved Nikolai since I was at school with him. I've never even thought about another man, and he has certainly been faithful. Instinctively, you and Nikolai turn to each other with an honesty that leaves neither in any doubt. Oh, I know, she nods. Even after 20 years, the whole town can see that your marriage was made in heaven. It's not that. The nurse lowers her eyes. Sometimes the blood they send us is contaminated, she says quietly. It's also possible that the syringes were not... She struggles to finish the sentence. Sterilized, you ask? She nods again. Yes, I am so, so sorry. A burst of anger seems to erupt from her normally gentle spirit. One of the things I hate about my job is that we can't do it properly. We can't be good nurses. We can't give people the right care. People suffer when they needn't. People even die. A sob overtakes her, and you and Nikolai reach out to comfort this caring woman in your arms. The medical system available to you is poor quality, but the fault should not be carried on her slender shoulders. In time, Nikolai sees her graciously to the door, thanking her for her care. It is only after she leaves that his brown eyes seek yours with a depth of pain you can hardly bear. He places his cheek beside yours and, for several minutes, can only weep uncontrollably. "I am not ready to lose you," he says, choking on the words. "I will do anything, anything to fight this. If it is just that ongoing infection, we will buy the medicine. It is expensive, but we will manage somehow." But for a few minutes, he can say no more. He grips you more tightly than you can ever remember, as if determined to stand between you and death. At last, though, he raises his head to voice the thought that neither of you dared speak. "But, Svetlana, what if it is not the infection? We have to know. We must find out if you are HIV positive."
"Please, pass through the black curtain and turn left towards the clinic."
This clinic specializes in the HIV/AIDS virus. As you await your results here, many questions may be running through your mind. This clinic has specially prepared a brochure for its patients called While You Wait to answer these. Please help yourself to one. Take a seat and read as much of it as you would like. Please proceed to the results area and take your card from the box on the wall to learn whether the result is positive or negative. You have now completed the story lane of the person whose life you followed, and you now know whether he or she contracted HIV. Whatever the news you received, you may like time to reflect on that story. You might also like to learn more about HIV/AIDS. In these rooms, you can see how others live with HIV/AIDS. Discover the geographic spread of HIV/AIDS. Find out how you can help or be helped in regard to HIV/AIDS. Learn why HIV/AIDS spreads. Write about your own feelings on the subject. And, if you like, purchase items sold to generate support for people affected by HIV/AIDS. Take as long as you like in these rooms. We will play music as you look around. When you're ready to leave, please go to our receptionist and return your headset. Again, we thank you for taking part in this experience. It may not have been easy, and we deeply appreciate your willingness to identify with those who live daily with the reality of HIV/AIDS and its many complex causes and results.